The first reading is taken from John chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The third reading is from 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, again beginning at verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
We are having a last look this morning at what we've called the method paragraph of our vision statement. That sounds weird, doesn't it? The method paragraph of our vision statement. We've been looking since September at our vision statement. That's our strap line. Following Jesus together, together making followers of Jesus. And we've thought about what that meant in a kind of explanation paragraph. There's an explanation that says we're a welcoming church family that exists to help one another know and follow Jesus Christ and to share the good news of Jesus Christ in our community so that they can know him too. That's the explanation of the line above. And then we've kind of thought how we're going to get there. And that's what I mean by this method paragraph, sort of method, describing how we're going to get there. We've thought about the importance of meeting, praying, worshipping, learning, serving. We've also thought about the bottom line, what it means to be united by our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we've actually got one more to come before we go into Advent. And it's strategically saved to be the very last thing before that season of the year where we expect, hopefully, lots of people to want to come to church and celebrate Christmas. So we've saved one more for next week. But this is our last look, then, at the method paragraph, this one. And we're focusing on reaching out with the gospel. Reaching out with the gospel. And with all of these, the purpose has been to show how these various activities are going to help us fulfill our aim, that aim at the very top there. We've sought to understand how and why all these things are important to building a church that is following Jesus together and making followers of Jesus. And we've sought to refresh our sense of the importance of those things. And as we've heard about those things, and you know, I hope you've had a sort of individual sense of their importance, the prayer is that our corporate church life is going to be changed and reflect those things. I was telling a minister, another minister in Ipswich, not a Church of England minister, independent church, back in July about our newly approved vision statement. And he said to me, yeah, that sounds good. But remember that culture eats vision for breakfast every day. And I was like, what? What do you mean by that? And he said, well, you can have the best vision in the world, but if the culture is against the vision, you won't get very far. And that's a sobering thought, isn't it? And our culture probably isn't all these things. Oh, or all these things yet. That's probably not our culture exactly. Okay, yet. But we're starting with a vision, aren't we? We're making this our vision, saying we want to shape our culture to become more like this. To become more like this. So this morning we're thinking about reaching out with the gospel, and we're asking how reaching out with the gospel is going to help us fulfill our vision. And we're going to renew our sense of commitment to outreach and our sense of the importance of mission. And I guess we are thinking particularly of that second half of the strap line. I don't think I pressed anything there. Can you bring me back, Tony? So we are. We're thinking about that second half. That's the one that reaching out the gospel really connects with. This sense of that we're making followers of Jesus. Reaching out with the gospel is the activity of the church by which people come to faith and by which the church grows. Church growth is not an accident. It comes by people hearing the gospel. And if we're going to be making followers and multiplying the number of believers, then we have to be reaching out with the gospel. Because you see, we're going to have contact with other people, aren't we? The Christian life isn't just in here. It's not just our engagement with people who profess to follow Jesus. The Christian life's engagement with other people. People who don't profess Christianity and don't follow and trust Jesus. People who take a really different approach to life. Part of being church is about engaging with those people on the outside. But what are we going to do for these people? What are we going to do with these people? Our vision statement says, we're going to do this. We're going to reach out with the gospel. Now, before we go on any further, I think we need to define our terms, don't we? One word in particular. Gospel. The gospel. What is the gospel? I think when most of us hear the word gospel, perhaps we think of a gospel choir. Maybe we've seen that brilliant film, Sister Act, and we've got Whoopi Goldberg in mind and gospel choirs. But the gospel, it's not so much that. That's more a genre, I think, of music that, yeah, it's to do with the content of what people sing about. But the gospel is really God's message, God's word to us. It comes from him. It's a message that comes from him. It's not something any man made up or invented. No human mind could possibly come up with what God tells us in the gospel. The gospel's his message announced to us. And if you ask, what does gospel mean? Well, literally, it means good news. It means good news. Not the good news that petrol prices have dropped by 2p a litre since September. It's the good news that makes you so happy that you laugh and you cry and you want to hug someone. That's sort of good news. In fact, to call it good news might be too weak. The writer of the Christianity Explored course, a man called Rico Tice, says, if this isn't the best news you've ever heard, then you probably haven't understood it properly. It's that kind of good. And this good news centers on or revolves around Jesus. Jesus is the focus of the gospel. He's the reason it's such good news. He isn't the bad bit or the embarrassing bit. He's the essence of the good news. He's the best bit. And you know you've heard the gospel when you've heard truly about Jesus. And there's one more thing to add to that. The good news might revolve around Jesus, but not as someone considered in cold clinical isolation, separate and cut off from us, rather like a sort of exhibit at a museum behind glass with an alarm that you can't touch him or anything like that. No, the good news is Jesus as he relates to us and the whole world, the universe. It's the good news about Jesus when we hear what he means for us, and what he's done for us, to bring us into relationship with God. So that's the gospel. And the job of the church is to reach out with the gospel, never to keep it to ourselves, but to offer it, offer that word, offer that message about Jesus to others. Now, I want to talk a bit this morning about concerns and convictions. If we talk about concerns and convictions, it sounds like we're working through some sort of safeguarding module, doesn't it? This week, I not only had to do a safeguarding refresher course online, I also had to have my DBS certificate renewed because it had expired and it needed to be refreshed. And Hillary had to sign some documents to say she'd check my passport and my driving license and a document, you know, a bank statement. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. If you work in education or anything like that, you've done all this safeguarding training. But it's not safeguarding that we're on about today when we're talking about concerns and convictions. Slightly different concerns and convictions. Let's start with some concerns. Reaching out with the gospel reflects a concern beyond ourselves. A concern beyond ourselves. That we don't just care about ourselves, we actually care about other people. Some quotes I want to share with you. One is from a former archbishop, and the other is from a former martyr. The church is the only society on earth that exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not its members. Think about that. The church is the only society on earth that exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not its members. Gee, something, isn't it? And then Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, the church is the church only when it exists for others. My goodness. And we'll only reach out with the gospel if we have a concern for others. The question we need to ask ourselves is, do we ever care for those on the outside? Do we care for anyone except ourselves? Let's go on a bit more. Reaching out with the gospel reflects a specific concern. Our explanation paragraph said that we are a welcoming church family that exists to help one another know and follow Jesus Christ and to share the good news of Jesus Christ in our community so that they can know him too. So that they can know him too. That's a specific concern for people to come to know Jesus. For people to come to know Jesus. That's the specific concern that's on our hearts. And it's not just our concern. That's God's concern. It's God's concern we're thinking about here. And we read about it in John 3:16. God's concern is that people know his love for them in the person of Jesus, by believing in Jesus. So, do we share God's own concern for the people outside? Do we share God's own concern for the people outside? So, there's a couple of concerns we need to have if we're going to reach out with the gospel. Okay? Now let's talk about some convictions. Reaching out with the gospel requires some convictions. Okay, the first conviction is that knowing Jesus is life itself. It's got a few verses here that are going to help us. You might want to flick them up in your Bibles. John 3:36, it says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. John 5:24 says, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. And then John 20:31. John writes, these things are written in my book, in his book, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So not to know Jesus is serious. It's darkness, it's death, and no matter how rich you are, or how big your house is, or how good looking you are, or how well your career is going, or what relationships you're in, if you've not got Jesus, you're in hell already. There's no reaching out with the gospel without that sort of conviction. Second conviction, is that Jesus is contained within the gospel. When we share the good news message about Jesus with people, we're bringing Jesus to them in that message. I think of it a little bit like this. Here's a car, but it's not an empty car. There's someone inside, isn't there, leaning out and waving and, hello, the car's carrying this person. And the gospel's like that. It's not an empty message. Jesus is within it. He's there within it, and he's carried by the message to us. And he's leaning out and he's waving from the message. Jesus always talks as though to hear the gospel is the same as meeting him. Third conviction, that the presentation of Jesus in the gospel is powerful and effective and brings people to trust him and be saved. We saw that in Romans chapter 1, in that reading, Romans 1, where it says, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel does the impossible. It converts the sinner. It melts the heart. It changes the mind. It brings to faith. That's why you can't make followers of Jesus without the gospel. Many times churches leave the gospel out. They say, but we're loving people. We're loving people so much. We're loving them into the kingdom. And I'm not saying loving people is not important. Of course we should love people. But loving actions by themselves are not enough. They can be misinterpreted. People might just think we're wonderful people. People need to hear the message. People need to hear the message. Romans 10:17 is such a good one. It says, faith comes by hearing the message. Faith comes by hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. So that's the third conviction, that the gospel is powerful and necessary to bring faith. The fourth conviction, last one, God uses people who know him to share the gospel and to sort of make his offer, if you like, to the world. In our third reading that Tricia brought to us this morning, we saw how Paul says, he says some important things. He says, God gave us the ministry of reconciliation between God and man. Paul says, he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore God's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We've got a role to play. I almost want to say we're indispensable. Christians are indispensable to God's offer to the world to have a relationship with Jesus. That's how he gets his message across, through people, through churches. Now, let's move on from concerns and convictions to challenges, a challenge. This is a challenge, isn't it, I think, to us as individuals. Do we share the gospel? Bob was encouraging us to earlier. Have we ever shared the gospel or an aspect of the gospel, just a little bit, you know, just something that we know about Jesus? What do we do when the subject comes up? Do we quietly thank God for this opportunity, just sort of a whisper as this opportunity comes up? And then do we do our best to say something about the Lord we know? Or is our response to change the subject? Now, you know, of course we might be ill-equipped. We might feel that our grasp on the gospel is poor and superficial, and that there's more we need to learn. We all need to learn more, don't we? We all do. And if we're not sure what the gospel is, well, are we taking opportunities to expand our understanding, to grow our understanding? There are loads of opportunities all the time. Tonight there's one at St. Helen's Church at 6 o'clock. We're thinking about a module of the course material that we've been reading. And the topic is the gospel. What is the gospel? That's the topic we're onto this module. So you could come at 6 o'clock and start there. Sunday mornings like this should be an opportunity for us to deepen our grasp of the gospel. And that understanding should get better every week. And then in Lent, here's another example. Lent 2020, do you remember Captain Andrew Payne, Church Army, Deanery Evangelist? He's coming back Sunday afternoons to run the Faith Pictures course that he was telling us about. That's another opportunity to extend our, or grow our understanding of the gospel. And learn how to naturally communicate it. So it's a challenge to us as individuals. It's a challenge to us as individuals, but it's a challenge to us as a church, isn't it? If we have these concerns for other people, if we've got these convictions, we really need these convictions, then we'll want to share the gospel message with everyone through the ministries of our church. We want our church to effectively communicate the gospel to people. The question to ask ourselves is, does our church offer people the good news of Jesus? Is it freely and widely available through all that we do? Or is it sometimes conspicuous by its absence? Have we made it hard to find? Is the gospel a needle in the church's haystack? Well hidden. Is there a chance you could come in as an outsider, as a stranger to something that we do, and go out again without any sense of the gospel? Imagine being a church really well set up to reach people and contact them, and then denying them the bit that they really need. Our ministries need to be set up in such a way that it's really clear that sharing Jesus is the focus and the priority. How that's done is going to look different for each of our ministries, isn't it? It's got to be age appropriate and stage appropriate. You've got to pitch it to your audience, what you're going to say and how much and with what language. Not everyone's ready for a 40-minute sermon, are they? But everyone's ready for something. Occasionally, churches hide behind the idea that people are going to be put off if we in any way raise themes of faith and the Bible and the Lord Jesus. And that's true. That is true. Some people will be put off. Not everyone wants to hear. But that's their choice. We, however, have got to be true to our calling and our Lord. If it's a choice between having Jesus on the agenda and keeping everyone happy and unoffended, then we've got to put Jesus on the agenda and risk a few people walking away. In the end, wouldn't it be awful to say, sorry, Jesus, you're too offensive for in here. We're keeping you out. We're going to keep you out. So if we're opening our doors as the church, then something of the message of Jesus has to come through. And as we wind up, reaching out the gospel can be creative. We can be incredibly creative. There are so many ways that we can communicate the gospel. Nicola and I were at the Margaret Catchpole Bowls Club annual awards dinner last night. I was the guest speaker. They must be really scraping the bottom of the barrel for local celebrities. Someone asked me, do I do a lot of after-dinner speaking? And I said, Tony Blair and Gordon Brown, David Cameron, have got nothing to worry about. I said, I don't do much of this. So I know nothing about bowls, and most of my talk was anecdotes about little blunders I've made in ministry. A time I forgot my dog collar and cut out. I had to find a rail ticket and cut myself a dog collar and tuck it in. And oh, lots of little things. Anyway, I can tell you afterwards. But I saw it as an opportunity to reach out with the gospel, just in a small way. So I said a few words at the end about the Christian faith being a little bit like bowls. That it's not us aiming to bowl the perfect ball to make the mark that God has set. And I said it's not about us being spectators at the World Bowls Championships, sitting up in the seats, watching the professionals like Tom with his rail ticket dog collar do the stuff and we're all just spectators standing back. No, it's about how God is the greatest bowler of all time and he bowled the perfect ball our way, and the perfect ball is Jesus, who is so good and compassionate and loving, that really you're willing for him to roll up and stop right by you. And wouldn't you know it, that's exactly what he did. Christmas is about how he rolled up alongside us. Touching ball. Touching ball. And he wasn't put off by our mistakes and our moral failures. He became a touching ball. So anyway, I'm just basically saying you can be really creative in how you share the gospel. Once you've got a desire to do it, God gives you the ideas. And the great thing about church is, even if we don't feel brilliant about sharing the gospel and we don't feel well equipped, we can bring folks along to events where they'll hear someone else share the gospel. And it could be one of those things that Bob mentioned earlier on. So we've had concerns and convictions. We've had challenges. And the last thing, or last of all, is about motivations. What's our motivation when we share the gospel? There are some people who share their message door to door. They might come to your door. And they're doing it because they fear that if they don't, they won't have a place in God's heavenly eternity, you know, that, yeah, the new creation. That's not why we do it. We do it because we have a wonderful gospel message to share. We do it so that they may know Jesus too. We do it because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Let's finish off with, just as we finish, let's just listen to a prayer, which is the Collect. It's a great Church of England prayer for the church to reach out with the gospel. So let's just bow our heads, and then after this, Sally Ann will continue to lead us in our intercessions. Almighty God, who called your church to bear witness that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself, help us to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may be drawn to you through him who was lifted up on the cross and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.